Christ says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now the word testament means covenant. When Christ said this testament, he is saying this covenant. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. So Paul is saying the blood of Christ ushers in for us a new agreement, a new plan of another relationship. And I want us to see this evening four reasons why the new covenant, this new agreement that God has established through his Son, through based on Christ's blood, divine blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but on the blood of Christ, is superior. But let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Let me read from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34 for you. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, here we find that in the words of God himself, he gives us four reasons for the superiority of Christ's offering for sin. And I want us to look at these four reasons, and they're found in verses 33 and 34. And the first reason why the new covenant is superior to the old is seen in the fact that the new covenant was founded on Christ's blood. And because it was, it is internal. It's internal. So for reason number one, the superiority of the new covenant, it's founded on Christ's blood, is that it is internal. God says, if you look again in verse 33, "My laws I will write not externally on stone, but internally on your hearts." Meaning God has written his laws within us. Though through the blood of Christ, he has given us a new heart. And consequently, we are partakers of the divine nature. And yes, we still have that old nature. But through the baptism into Christ's body, God's laws are no longer external and foreign, but they are internal and real. 1 Corinthians 12:13 states, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The new covenant is superior because it is internal. A second reason why the new covenant is better, superior to the old, is in relationship. In the second half of verse 33, God says, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And yes, the Old Testament echoes this statement repeatedly. But under the Old Covenant, it was only fulfilled in some of the hearers. But this relationship is perfectly fulfilled in all who partake of the New Covenant, through which you and I, believers, actually become God's possession. And we in turn possess God. Notice again, verse 33, I will be their God. Means God gives himself to us. Think about that. I will be their God. God gives himself to us, and they will be my people, which means he takes us to himself. I will be their God. They will be my people. Consequently, everything we need is found in him. The new covenant is superior because it is relational. Then the third reason for the new covenant being superior to the old is the knowledge it conveys. Notice verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Now, the old covenant was corporately entered into by a nation, which included many who did not know God personally. But today, those who experience the new covenant by faith in Jesus' blood are individually born into a relationship with God. And through this relationship, we know God in a living way. We sing, You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And thus we fulfill what Christ prayed in John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We all have a living knowledge. If we know Christ as our Savior, we all have a living knowledge of the true and living God. It's not just theory. It's not just something that we have heard. It's not something that maybe we've heard in a Sunday school class or from a message or from Pastor Beck in a lesson that he has taught. We have a living, in other words, Christ is alive in us. A living knowledge of the true and living God. This brings Christianity to life. If you don't have this knowledge, you're going to be bored to death. When you read your Bible, you're going to find it very hard to pray. You'll find sitting in church a very uncomfortable experience. It's not something you look forward to. It's not something you desire. And that's sad, because God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to have a knowledge of Him, and a knowledge that is real, experiential. You know, you can go to a ball game. I think the Green Jackets baseball begins tomorrow in Augusta. I mean, they've had games, but with the Masters, they always are away. But they'll be having their home opener tomorrow. You and I can go to a Green Jackets game, and we can enjoy it. But I can enjoy it even more because I know those players personally. I've sat down, I've talked to them. I know them as a friend. I know them as individuals. And that's kind of the way it is with Christ. You know, when you open the scriptures, you say, Lord, I understand that. I understand what you're instructing me. I see that. It comes alive in me. And that's the beauty of the new covenant. And then reason number four. Why the new covenant is superior, and that's our sins are truly forgiven. Notice the last half of verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Under the old covenant, sin was never completely forgiven because it was never truly forgotten. Sin was covered, awaiting and pointing to the true forgiveness through Christ's death, when sin would be washed away and through his shed blood. And let me explain. God cannot forget unless he wills to do so. And so when our sins are not remembered, it is, as F.F. Bruce states, because his grace is determined to forgive them, not in spite of his holiness, but in harmony with his holiness. Again, with the blood of the new covenant, we have total forgiveness. And with total forgiveness, we have complete forgetfulness. Can you believe that God, who knows every thought you and I are thinking right now at this moment? I mean, I can't even comprehend that. That he, when he forgives us of our sin, forgets those sins that we have committed. What does Psalm 103 tell us? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he done what? Removed our transgressions from us. We sing that song, gone, 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 yes, my sins are what? Gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will sing eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. You know, only a divine work of grace forgives and forgets. We forgive, but if it's not a divine work of grace through us, we're going to continue to do what? Remember. But under the new covenant, God not only forgives, but he forgets. And you know, you never, when you forgive, but you don't forget, the relationship isn't good, is it? I mean, it's there, but it's not sincere. But with God, he forgives and he forgets. Our sins are washed away in Christ's blood. How can something that is truly gone be remembered? And so as Christ's disciples reclined around the table while they ate the Passover, remember they were no longer slaves. Slaves served. Non-slaves reclined at the table. They heard the Savior of the world unlock the mystery of salvation by saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament, new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ was and is saying, "Here is my salvation. Here is the salvation that I'm offering to you. And it is superior. It is superior to any other salvation that might be presented to you. It is superior in that it is eternal, internal." Again, the words of verse 33, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." It is superior in that it is relational. The end of verse 33, "and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Ladies and gentlemen, you want the real God, the true God, to be your God. You want the real God, the true God, to call you one of his own. It's relational. The new covenant is superior in that it conveys a living, experiential knowledge. Verse 34, "For they know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." You don't have to be a preacher to experience this living knowledge. Amen? You don't have to be a priest, so to speak. We're all priests in God's sight. And this new covenant is superior in that it provides full and complete forgiveness. End of verse 34, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Amen. Amen. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. That's our salvation, ladies and gentlemen. It's internal. It's relational. It conveys a living knowledge. And it provides complete and full forgiveness. I presume here on a Sunday evening that y'all have experienced this new covenant that Christ has come into your heart. And because he has, we can celebrate, we can remember what event brought this new covenant to pass. And that is Christ died for us according to the scriptures. He died for you. He died for me. He gave his body to be bruised, to hang on a cross. He shed his blood that our sins might be washed away, forgiven, and forgotten.